Welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. I'm Lisa Prather. Good morning, Dr. Prather.
Good morning, Lisa.
Well, today we're going to talk about influenza and or the flu, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a snazzy title. Something will come up.
Something will come up as we're going along with that. Okay.
Yes. How to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get it. Right? It's not. So let's talk about, you know, the flu, which means influenza, right?
Correct.
Just a fancy word.
Yeah.
What is it exactly, Dr. Prather?
Well, it's an upper respiratory virus. It's spread through the air. A cough can do it.
You give an example.
Yeah, a sneeze. And they've actually found that it can go as far as 10 feet.
Wow.
With a good sneeze. So the other thing is that you actually also have to watch out for, knobs, doorknobs. You can actually pick it up by, shaking somebody's hands.
Right.
Then it has to go into the respiratory system or the eyes. So one of the things that, as you're going around and you're touching a lot of things and you rub your nose or you rub your eyes, that's a good way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that they, talk about is that, one, keeping your hands clean, avoiding people, who have the flu, and cover the sneeze, cover the cough so that you don't spread it, and then avoiding the hand-eye contact, hand-nose contact.
Mm-hmm. And I say when you sneeze or you cough, you really should do that into your forearm, correct, instead of the hand?
Someplace like that, I guess.
Yeah.
that type of thing. But having that kind of an avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
Not being careful and not spreading the flu is a very important aspect.
Mm-hmm. So what is the difference between a cold and the flu?
Well, they actually have very similar symptoms. They're both upper respiratory, so they can actually seem to be the same. But a cold actually comes on slowly, and it's actually milder. The flu kind of feels like you got hit by a train.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens immediately. It's sudden. A cold will last a couple of days, whereas the flu usually takes about 2 weeks.
Wow, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just you feel like you've been hit by a train, and it's what kind of symptoms do you have with the influenza?
Well, you have the upper respiratory. You have the sneezing, the coughing, all the problems along those lines. You can have actually intestinal symptoms, fever. One of the big things that's a difference between cold and flu is that you feel achy all over with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that the viruses are actually attacking the cell structure. So there is actually some breakdown of the cells, and you feel that ache throughout the system. Also, you get a much higher fever with the flu than you do with the cold.
Okay. So, it seems like the flu is seasonal. We're going into the flu season, correct, right now?
Correct.
Why is that? Why is it seasonal?
They're actually not quite sure, but it is during the cold season. When you're actually talking about the flu season in the southern hemisphere, it's the opposite of the flu season up here.
Huh.
So that the winter time, the worst time usually for the flu is January and February here in the United States, especially in the central part.
Mm-hmm.
If you're actually looking at the spread of the flu right now, most of the flu that you find is actually in the southern states. It's not as common up here in Indiana right now. So
it hasn't reached us yet.
It hasn't reached us yet. So the southern portion is where the flu is actually found. So if you're making a trip to Florida, you have a much higher chance of getting the flu than you do up here in Indiana.
Just wait till January.
Right. And then actually will be higher.
So you're saying our flu season here in the Midwest is January, February.
It actually starts October and goes all the way through April. Okay. So that's the official flu season in the United States. But usually here in Indiana, the highest is during January and February.
Okay. Well, who's at most risk for the flu?
The people who are most risk at the flu are the older people. That's actually where the highest death rate is. Mm. About 90% of the people who actually die from the flu is actually 65 and older.
Okay.
And one of the things that occurs is as you get the flu, you get a secondary pneumonia infection, and that's where most people actually die from.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important not to even get the influenza.
It's important to not to get the influenza. Anybody who has a compromised immune system, if you know you've had cancer or have cancer, being treated for any types of diseases that or taking medications that actually lower the immune system, so that's a greater risk. People with lung problems or congestive heart failure, cardiovascular disease, are at a higher risk for the flu and the side effects of flu.
Mm-hmm.
Also, children under the age of 2 or children under the age of 5. The ones under 2 are actually more susceptible on that because they haven't developed their immune system yet. The people who also are morbidly obese are much more commonly come down with the flu and with more serious side effects of the flu.
Hmm.
So also if you have liver disease, kidney disease, any kind of endocrine disease, diabetes,
mm-hmm.
Are also much more susceptible to the flu and to the severity of the flu.
Yeah. So can the flu be dangerous?
The flu can be very dangerous. There are, you know, it varies from year to year on how many people actually die from the flu in the United States, and it can vary from 4,000 to 49,000, depending on how bad the flu is. Now, there was the 1918 Spanish flu,
mm-hmm.
which was extremely devastating. Most people don't realize how devastating it was, but about 10% of the population in the world actually died from the Spanish flu.
In the world.
Matter of fact, many people, historians, actually look at that, and if the Spanish flu had actually continued maybe another month before it actually stopped, civilization could have come to an end.
Wow.
People don't realize how devastating it actually was.
And this was in
1918.
Wow.
And it was the reason is because you had a brand new flu. Mm-hmm. In other words, no one had an immunity to it. So it spread very quickly, was very devastating, and caused a tremendous amount of death. So that happens every once in a while. And whatever that does, then you actually have a what's considered not just an epidemic, but a pandemic
mm-hmm.
in those situations. And it's not a matter of when that will occur, you know, if it will occur again. It's a matter of when. There have been periodic times about on that, and usually about every 100 years there's a new flu
mm-hmm.
that actually is introduced. So,
yeah, they were talking a lot about the bird flu there for a while. And
yeah, they have actually several kinds. The one that they were talking about that was making the news was the H5N1 mm-hmm. Flu, and that was what they called the bird flu. Now, that's kind of a misnomer because almost all the flus actually come from birds.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact,
so they could call them all the bird flu.
They could actually call them all the bird flu was the origination of them. But the H5N1, they called the avian flu, and it was causing quite a bit of problems basically over in Asia. It did spread quite a bit, but it really never took off in humans. So a lot of that was actually due to the World Health Organization and their ability to actually control that. There is a flu that's actually of concern right now. It's the H7N9 mm-hmm. flu, and that is a flu that is actually over in China right now. 45 people have died from it.
And it's the H7N9.
H7N9.
Okay.
There was 135 infections over in China, but it was direct contact with birds. In other words, but it never really took off from human to human.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese government did a very good job of closing down the bird markets.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually had a huge effect. But there is also the MERS COV. It's a coronavirus, and that's over in Saudi Arabia. And people are concerned about that, but again, that hasn't really, either one of those have been found in the United States at this point.
Interesting.
But both of those are very fatal.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about vaccinations. Should you get a vaccination for the flu? And the Prather Wellness Center, we're partnering with two organizations during the holiday season. At the local level, we're partnering, as we do every year, with our Toys for Tots. We bring in a new unwrapped toy to give to an Indianapolis child in need. We're collecting for that. Also, through the end of December, we're partnering with our friends at the Nicaraguan Resource Network to collect backpacks filled with school supplies. Items to send in the backpack include pencils and pens, spiral-bound notebooks, glue sticks, matrix system rules, crayons or color pencils, and calculators. And you can just bring a backpack in or just the school supplies. A lot of the children in Nicaragua cannot afford, much less they have to buy the uniforms, but they cannot afford the books and the school supplies. So one of our employees, Hannah Campbell, is a part of that ministry, and we want to support them. My daughter and myself have been there three or four times, and our church has a sister church over there, and you just see the need for the backpack and school supplies. So you can just drop off your backpack filled with school supplies at the Prather Wellness Center, 8902 North Meridian Street at the north side of Indianapolis, or you can learn more about the special campaign on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Today we're talking about influenza. And Dr. Prather, you said the influenza season started in October,
mm-hmm,
and goes all the way through April. But here in the Midwest, influenza usually hits.
Most common is in January and February.
Okay.
Are the worst times for that.
Yeah, and I don't think I realized how dangerous it can be
sure.
Going into, seeing it more as a respiratory problem and then going into pneumonia, especially for those that are elderly.
Or have a susceptibility to that.
Right, right. So very important. Well, let's talk about vaccinations. We seem to get that question a lot. Should I get vaccinated for the mm-hmm. flu?
Center of Disease Control recommends that everybody actually get a vaccination. There are thoughts along those lines. Of course, there are the people who are at high risk,
mm-hmm.
That have a disease process that is going on that can cause it. There are people 65 years and older are also always recommended. And then those 5 years and younger are the ones that are recommended to have the flu vaccination. They actually now recommend that everybody does. The thought pattern on that is the more people who are vaccinated, what's something that they call herd vaccination.
Herd
immunity.
Like H-E-R-D, herd.
Yeah, like a herd, like a bunch of cattle. And,
uh-huh.
The more people that they feel that are vaccinated, the less likely it is to spread from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
There is a... less communication, communicative diseases occurring
mm-hmm.
is the thought pattern on that, and that makes sense. But of course, everyone has to look at this on an individual basis. You have to weigh the risks, the benefits for yourself, what your exposure level is. It's been Last time that I actually got the flu was back when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. So
that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So, and I've never gotten the flu vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're talking about personal choices along those lines and how you actually approach everything. We have a lot of people who come in and ask us whether they should have the flu vaccination, and we don't make that choice for people. We do advise them on their own personal health.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, of course, that we always look at is, well, what's your immune level?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you healthy? Are you at risk? What is the situation that you actually have? So, you know, looking at it in those types of ways, that needs to be an individual choice. Look at those situations and decide for yourself on whether you should actually get the flu vaccination or not.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about children, it's a matter of exposure. And when you're talking about the older adults, you're also talking about an exposure. those people who are in nursing homes, that's a much higher risk because, again, when you're talking about vaccination, it's the you know, how close you are to people, how many people you're actually exposed to. One of the things that they did during the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic is they shut down all meeting places.
Mm.
So there was no sporting events. They closed down the schools, so there wasn't a lot of problems along those lines. They actually even shut down the churches.
Mm. So any places where groups of people met.
Right, and there would be a chance for a large amount of spreading of the... All you would need is one person to start to infect a huge group.
Right.
So looking at those types of things, that's why nursing homes, because you have people all in the same area. Hospitals, of course, are a great area to actually spread the influenza. Usually they find that the initial influenza that's actually spread from person to person actually starts in the younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And especially schools are a great place to actually communicate, to actually transmit that virus, the influenza mm-hmm. virus. So that's usually where it starts. Then it's actually the older people who actually usually wind up with it last.
Well, how effective are the vaccinations?
Well, it varies. You know, when you're talking about vaccinations, they actually try to figure out what is the flus that are going to be the most common that you've been vaccinated for, and for an influenza doesn't necessarily mean that that's the one that's actually you're getting at that time.
How do they determine that?
Well, one of the things you can do is actually look in the southern hemisphere mm. and see which ones they had before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also kind of measure which ones are the early ones. So, you know, they've actually come up with the vaccination that they're actually doing right now is they always have an H1N1, and then the form on that is actually called the California 2009. they have some interesting names for it.
Uh-huh.
So we have the California 2009 H1N1.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have the H3N2, which is Victoria 2011, which was up in Victoria is where they found that. And then they always have a B. Those are two A's, and then they have a B. It's the Massachusetts 2012 B influenza.
Hmm.
And then for the they have, that's the trivalent form, and the quadrivalent one, they also have a B. Brisbane 2008. So what they do is they try to match them up with which one was actually going on at that, you know, at this time, and they match them as close as they can. But influenza viruses are constantly changing. And that's what they call
a
genetic drift.
So these are the places that they found them?
That's where they found them.
Okay.
You know, in other words, that's where they located them.
Uh-huh.
When they first isolated it, and then they name it after that city that it was actually found in.
Okay, good. None of them were Indianapolis.
None of them were in Indianapolis. But so they try to get those, but the viruses are constantly changing. And matter of fact, you could actually start out the beginning in October and have one particular virus that's going through. By the time that it's done, it could be a completely different virus. Or it could actually have shifted. You know, well, there's two different ways that the viruses actually change. There's something called genetic drift, which is that the virus is always changing its composition. Mm-hmm. And then you have something called a shift. And the shift is actually the one that is rather dramatic. And that's the one that will actually cause a pandemic. Because it's such a radical change within the virus itself that the body isn't actually used to dealing with it. Matter of fact, people of Native American Indian and Eskimo actually are always at greater risk for the flu because the influenza was not here in the North America. So they don't have the genetic background of the ability to actually fight the influenza.
Interesting.
So you actually, as your ancestors got the influenza, then it actually builds up your ability to actually fight it. Mm-hmm. That's when the H1N1 actually was introduced into the population. No one had any type of immunity to it, so it spread very quickly. But now as they would check people, most people now actually have the ability to actually fight the H1N1. Because they have that in their genetic makeup.
So what do the people do in the Southern Hemisphere?
Well, they look at the Northern Hemisphere and see what the one they wound up with. So they go back and forth on that.
I don't want to say guessing game, but...
It's surprisingly how well they do on that.
Yes.
They really do. There are some times where they completely miss it. There have been years where they weren't even close. Mm-hmm. So, but there is they do claim that there is actually some crossover with the, even if you don't, if it's not a complete match, you're actually getting the antibodies ready. So the body's actually prepared. So that's the thought pattern on that.
Gotcha. Can vaccinations cause harm?
Vaccinations actually, can cause harm. I've had, personally, I've taken care of quite a few patients who have had the influenza vaccination and actually had some very serious side effects. Guillain-Barré syndrome. I've had several patients, probably about a dozen patients who've actually had that neurological condition as a result of the Guillain-Barré syndrome, and there are different reasons for that to occur. They actually claim that that's about 1 in a million people actually can actually develop that from there. Mm-hmm. But I've taken care of quite a few, so I'm not quite sure about that number. So it is something that can actually cause some problems. There are reactions that actually occur with the with it. You actually don't get the flu, because when you're actually talking about the virus, they actually do kill it when they do the vaccination. Though the nasal spray, it's actually a weakened virus, so it only resides up in the sinuses, but doesn't go into the lungs. But there are some side effects that actually do occur naturally with the flu shot.
Well, when we come back, let's talk more about the vaccinations and, you know, can you get the flu from the vaccinations? That's more to come. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Ring my friend, I said you called Dr. Robert.
Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. And today we're talking about the influenza, the flu. And before we went to break, we were talking about vaccinations, because we get a lot, you know, patients ask us, should I get the flu vaccine? And I like what you said, Dr. Prather. It's really an individual choice.
Mm-hmm.
And use the word herd. What
That's actually the technical term that is used when they're talking about vaccinations. There's something called herd immunity. And if the herd actually has an immune to a particular type of disease, in this case a virus, then the individuals who might be weakened are actually helped.
Mm-hmm.
So that in other words, it cuts down on the transmission of the virus itself. If the more people who are actually immune to it and they get it, but they are actually able to handle it, then that's one less person who is actually passing on the virus.
Okay.
So there is that concept on that and something definitely to consider.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these are, again, what we feel are individual choices that people should look at. And the risks and the benefits that might be involved in that.
Mm-hmm. And then people ask, well, do you get the vaccination?
Right. And I personally don't.
Mm-hmm.
That I recommend for people who choose not to get the vaccination, they need to be much more serious about their health than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to
keep the immune system up.
You need to keep the immune system up. You need to check and make sure that you're a healthy individual. You don't have any kidney disease, liver disease. The people who actually have the serious problems and the serious problems with the flu are those who do have weakened immune systems or have some other different types of process going on in their system.
Mm-hmm.
Being morbidly obese is actually a factor on that. Weakened immune system, where you've just kind of burned the candle on both ends, those are things that can certainly occur. If you're taking any medications, that's something to consider because that can weaken the immune system.
Yeah. You know, and during this holiday season, I've just noticed, you know, ever since Thanksgiving, people are worn out.
Yes.
You know, and maybe we'll do a show on holiday stressors, but, you know, it just, you can just see that in people, and we,
sure,
we just need to take a step back.
And, you know, absolutely, if you are well-rested, you have good nutrition, you don't eat lots and lots of sugar and during this time,
mm-hmm,
that weakens the immune system quite definitely. So, you know, there are very reasonable types of things that you should be doing. Avoid stress.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, people say, can you write me a prescription for that? So I can hand it around to everyone. It stresses me. But absolutely.
Doctor says I have to avoid stress.
Yes. They said, well, am I leaving my family right now?
Or my job.
So those things all play a role. Making sure you get, you know, your normal sleep.
Yeah.
You know, all those types of things. You know, getting checked to make sure that, you know, you don't have a weakened immune system, that you don't have something going on.
Well, I want to go back to what we were talking about before break, because I said we would.
Yes, good idea.
But can vaccinations, you know, we talked about cause harm, and you started talking about that. Anything that you wanted to add to that?
Well, of course, if you have egg allergies, many of the vaccinations are actually based off of egg. So, you know, if you have an egg allergy, that's something to look into. There are alternatives, mm-hmm, that aren't based upon that. There are, if you've ever had neurological reactions or a reaction to the vaccination before, obviously you shouldn't be doing it. There are other different types of criteria that can be an issue. So making sure with your doctor that, you know, everything's fine. You shouldn't get the vaccination when you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
your immune system's low.
Your immune system and your chance of actually having a reaction on that. I had a patient who came in and definitely had a reaction to the flu vaccination, but they had a cold. When they got it, it's like...
So that's not always screened, huh?
That should be screened and that should be checked on, but they had set it up, they'd gotten the cold. I don't think that they told their doctor when they came in that, you know, well, I've got a cold.
Mm-hmm.
They were just thankful that they were getting the flu vaccination because they felt like they were coming down with something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's not a good idea. You should wait until you're feeling healthy. Mm-hmm. The flu vaccination does take about 2 weeks to take effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm, you can actually get the flu immediately after you get the flu vaccination, even if it was perfect for it.
Well, that was my next question. Can you get the flu from the vaccination?
You're not supposed to be able to get the flu from the vaccination, but people swear that they actually have gotten the flu. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is that the flu vaccination is supposed to make a reaction on your body. So one of the side effects of the flu vaccination can be body aches, a mild fever, coughing, sneezing, those types of things, but you really don't have the flu. What you're doing is having a reaction to the vaccination.
Okay. I'm confused.
It's technical. Okay. And that's one of the things, as you read that, you go, huh, that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Right.
But but it doesn't necessarily mean that you actually have the flu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the virus is... So, you know, for the layperson, it's like, well, that's just a technical thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to the scientist, it's like, oh, well, you've got all those symptoms, but you don't actually have the flu. Because it's not a live virus going through your system. You're just reacting to it.
Okay. Well, before I want to go on to treatments for the flu, especially those that we do at the Prather Wellness Center...
Sure.
Anything more that you want to say on the vaccinations before we do that?
Well, there's tons of stuff, but I think we should move on.
Okay. So what are the treatments for the flu? And then we're going to go on to what we do at the Prather Wellness Center.
There are actually antiviral medications. Those are by prescription. Can work quite well. It's best if you actually get it in the first couple of days that you actually have it to make it as effective as possible. There are side effects that are actually related to those medications. Can have nausea, vomiting. There can be actually some psychotic episodes. There also can be other different types of symptoms that can be a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whenever you're taking any pharmaceutical, there's always a chance of side effects. If they didn't have side effects, it wouldn't be classified as a pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who are at high risk for secondary problems, especially pneumonia, the pharmaceutical drugs are something to definitely consider and talk over with your doctor on whether you actually need those. For those who are basically healthy individuals, trying to treat that naturally would probably definitely be the way to go. And there are many, many natural types of ways to actually work with it.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you're trying to do with a structure function type of care, mm-hmm. is you're actually trying to boost your immune system, be able to keep your lymphatic system clean, and get those toxins out of the system. And there are a lot of ways to actually do that. The Native Americans actually were very effective during the 1918 influenza.
Mm.
That there was a much less of a death rate among them. And what they were doing...
The American Indians?
American Indians. There was a herb that they used called Lomatium Dissecutum.
Mm-hmm.
And that it has been shown to be very effective for actually treating the flu when you have it. Echinacea is very good to actually keep the lymphatic system open.
And we carry all those, right?
We carry all those.
Mm-hmm.
Astragalus, olive leaf. There are many different types of...
And you're talking about herbals here.
Herbals, yes. Mm-hmm. That you can actually take that can boost the immune system. We find very, very effective. One of the things that we find quite commonly in people is that their lymphocytes is low, their lymphocyte count.
Mm-hmm.
We use those herbals on a regular basis to actually see those boosted. And after we get those up, those boosts are permanent. So in our office, we see that quite consistent on actually boosting the immune system. Colostrum is a great way to actually boost the immunoglobulin A's.
Mm-hmm.
We use that on a regular basis to also boost the immune system, and quite effective. You're also talking about quite a few nutritional types of things. One of my teachers was a huge believer in vitamin C, and whenever he got the cold or a flu, what he would do is take a vitamin C buffered form until he actually got diarrhea.
Mm.
And he would, as he said, he would basically be over the cold or flu by that time.
Right.
Because if you actually get that boosted in through the system, that can have a huge effect on the immune system. Zinc is keeping that levels up. Your copper zinc ratio, keeping the levels up to where that needs to be, also has a huge effect. So there are many different types of ways to boost the immune system. And the more you can get the body in homeostasis, the better the ability of the body to actually fight whatever's going on.
Okay. Well, do you have a question for Dr. Prather about today's show? Go to thevoiceofhealthradio.com to ask your question on our Facebook page and watch Dr. Prather's video answers to your questions. And while you're there, don't forget to enter our contest for this month, where one of our Facebook fans will win a free 60-minute massage. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Spotlight on the Nicaraguan Resource Network, an Indiana-based ministry called to meet the needs of impoverished children and families in Nicaragua. We are joined by Hannah Campbell, an employee of the Prather Wellness Center and a volunteer of NRN. Hannah is helping the Prather Wellness Center collect backpacks filled with school supplies to send to the children of Nicaragua. Hannah, who is Nicaraguan Resource Network, and what does NRN stand for?
NRN stands for Nicaragua Resource Network. It was birthed out of a local church here in Indiana and now is spread to 17 local churches that are involved. And they partner with communities in Nicaragua that are located in the poorest areas, areas that were racked by the war and the civil war before 1990, areas that were racked by natural disasters, Hurricane Mitch, and areas where there's no water, or just resources, jobs there that can work. And so we get involved to try to provide those opportunities through education. And when these churches walk alongside the churches and schools in Nicaragua, they provide hope and they provide transformation in these communities. We have now seen several graduating classes. They've gone on to college and are now coming back to work in their own communities, start businesses, work as the administrators at the schools, and they're coming back to invest in their own communities. So we're starting to see the first generational change. Nicaragua Resource Network has been involved for 25 years and has been involved in the long-term way to see that. It started as a nonprofit in 1996, and 100% of what is given to Nicaraguans goes to Nicaragua. We have no staff, no office, no overhead costs, and so 100% of what is donated goes directly there.
In Nicaragua, 50% of all children drop out of school by the end of the fifth grade. Children there cannot even begin to afford their books, much less the uniforms and the shoes that are required to go to school by the government. Through the end of December, the Prather Wellness Center will be partnering with our friends at the Nicaraguan Resource Network to collect backpacks filled with school supplies. Items to send in the backpack include pencils, pens, spiral-bound notebooks, glue sticks, metric system rulers, crayons or colored pencils, and calculators. We hope you'll join us this month to touch the lives of Nicaraguan children in need of the hope and transformation of God's love. You can drop off your backpack filled with school supplies at the Prather Wellness Center, 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis. Or you can learn more about this special campaign on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. And I'm Lisa Prather, and we're talking today about influenza, something that is in season right now here in the Midwest, we talked about. And Dr. Prather, before we went to break, we were talking about different treatments that we do at the Prather Wellness Center, the structure function treatments. You were talking about different herbals that are helpful. That are effective. What about homeopathic medicine?
Homeopathy, very interestingly, during the 1918 influenza outbreak, the people who went to the medical hospital, and of course at that time they didn't have some of the newer drugs, but they actually had a 90% death rate at the medical hospitals for the influenza.
Mm-hmm.
For the homeopathic hospitals, they had less than 10%. And they had come up with a combination of homeopathics that's extremely effective for the flu and the flu symptoms. And that's one thing that a lot of our patients actually carry. And it's actually a low pellets, homeopathically based, that actually says for flu symptoms. And for those patients who have that there, they start taking those regularly. And it's quite remarkable on the changes in symptoms that are actually associated with that, mm-hmm. on getting it under control very quickly, and that's something that we offer at the Prather Wellness Center. So homeopathy is actually a very, very excellent means of actually working with the when you actually have the flu itself, along with either some herbals or some nutritional types of ways. And there's always more than one way to approach any type of problem. And we actually offer a tremendous number. Mm-hmm. We have the herbals, we have the homeopathics, we have the vitamins and minerals, and all of those work on a structure function basis to actually help the body to improve its viral fighting capacity. Mm-hmm. As it does that, then it actually works quite well.
Yeah.
So for the average person, that's an excellent way to actually approach the flu. As opposed to going with the pharmaceuticals. Those who are at most risk, who have different types of serious diseases that can actually lead to very quick types of problems, the pharmaceuticals would be a very good way to think about actually approaching that.
Now, I know you talked about the vitamin C, and we have that in powder form, correct?
Sure.
And
that's the high vitamin C buffer that you can get massive amounts into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been shown to be extremely effective.
Right. And what's nice about what we do, we can know specifically what's going to help that one person.
Sure.
You know, if you have 10 people coming in with influenza, you know, it might be 10 different treatments.
Sure, and we actually literally have hundreds mm-hmm. of different ways of actually approaching that. Of course, staying in good alignment for the adjustments, keeping the nervous system. Chiropractic is a very good way to keep the body in homeostasis, and as you keep the body in homeostasis, less likely you are to get any type of virus.
I know I have to continually educate the patient. You know, they'll call, I'm not feeling well today. Well, you need to come in.
Right.
Because you know?
We can actually give you things to fix you and do things on that. And oftentimes the patient actually leaves feeling much better. Mm-hmm. We can approach it through the chiropractic, acupuncture. We have many different types of therapies. We have auricular therapy. We have diathermy for detoxification of the lymphatic tissue. We have many people with chronic types of infections going on, viral, bacterial, fungal, sinuses, lungs. We get those under control by getting the body more in homeostasis, improving the immune system. As we do that, then we see long-term types of problems actually clear up. I had a patient who came in and said that she had had chronic sinus infections, and they had recommended some antibiotics. She had been on them for a week and then had a terrific allergic reaction to them. So there wasn't anything that we could, you know, that they could do, and she'd had the sinus infections for 10 years.
Mm.
And we started her on some, doing some different types of things. We did some different types of adjustments, chiropractic, some lymphatic work, some acupuncture, and, you know, she could actually start to breathe out of one side of her nostril, you know, immediately.
Mm.
So, you know, there are other different types of ways of approaching things besides the pharmaceuticals. We certainly know when that needs to be used, but for those that it's not working for, then finding other things can be extremely helpful.
I know for me, too, if I start feeling like my lymph system's getting backed up, or you know how you feel that fluid building up in the ear, you do it's actually a eustachian tube adjustment. I don't know if you have a specific name where you open up the eustachian tubes and
sure.
You know, one of our employees is going to be flying Saturday and was starting to feel that, and she has problems every time she flies. You are able to open the eustachian tubes, start that draining, and that really prevents me from getting sick.
Yeah, I have a lot of patients just come in and say, well, I need my eustachian tubes opened up, get the lymphatic tissue flowing.
They just say ears popped.
Yeah, that's what they normally say. I didn't want to say that. But it's a very definite type of help. I also teach moms how to open up their kids' ears so mm-hmm. they don't get the otitis media, the ear infections. Extremely effective and very, very helpful mm-hmm. to for prevention and for treatment.
Mm-hmm. What are there any other treatments? I know you've mentioned quite a bit. You know, otherwise, what steps can we take to prevent the flu?
Well, of course, you know, just the normal types of good, healthy habits, good eating, regular exercise. Exercise actually boosts the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the stress low, getting plenty of sleep, avoiding people who are sick
mm-hmm.
is a very good thing. Matter of fact, I've had several moms say, you know, every time I take my kid into the pediatrician. My kid comes home sick.
Because he got all the sick kids.
Because he got all the sick kids. So putting a little, avoiding the waiting room maybe might be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, but actually avoiding people who are sick is a very important type of thing. And if you are ill, think of other people. You know, mm-hmm. don't go out there in public. Don't be around people. And especially people who might be more susceptible to it. So using good common sense along those lines, making sure that you have, doorknobs that everybody's using,
mm-hmm.
Grab a hold of that, open it up, and then wipe your eyes and then wipe your nose, you know, or touch your face with your hands is a good way to actually transmit it, because the more people who've actually touched that doorknob, the more likely that there's some viruses on there.
Mm-hmm.
So being aware of those common types of things, airlines, traveling on that, mm-hmm. you know, you hear the person in front of you sneezing, coughing, and hacking, it's like, oh boy.
You can't move your seat.
being aware of those things and trying to cover up.
Do the masks help?
There are masks that actually do help along those lines. Mm-hmm. Very, very big in Japan and China.
Mm-hmm.
Because you actually have a lot more closer contact with people. It's very hard to avoid, and crowds are just a matter of life. The other things that you can really do is keeping your own immune system up.
Mm-hmm.
Having good diagnostics. In other words, getting regular blood tests, finding out what's going on in through your gut. We have something called the GI effects, which we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Because 80% of the immune system's around the gut, and you can actually have that analyzed and find out what type of effect that's having. And the more that you can actually clear those things up, the better off you are. A very interesting aspect on that is that they have found that the people who get Guillain-Barré, which is a neurological disease that occurs after vaccinations,
mm-hmm.
are people who actually have certain types of bacteria in their gut, Campylobacter being one, H. pylori.
And this GI effects can pick those up.
Those can pick those up. So there are reasons why everything happens, and mm-hmm. there are reasons why people have reactions. There are reasons why certain people get the flu and you don't. And it's usually because you are in better homeostasis.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you can actually go into homeostasis, which is a balance in the body, and that includes the nervous system, the physical aspect, the lymphatic system flowing, the physiology of the body, the immune system reacting as it should, the more healthy you are, and the healthier you are, the less probability you are of actually getting illnesses, diseases, and infections. So getting a good, at least a yearly type of examination, and you should actually start that pre-birth and then all the way up until you die.
Mm-hmm.
So babies should be come in and having a good structure function evaluation to see what their health is.
Right.
Moms should be evaluated even before they have the child.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through, I have parents coming in. They say that my, they're making sure that they're healthy. And I said, what about your kids? And they said, well, you know, they're kids. They're always healthy. Well, kids aren't always healthy.
Mm-hmm. It may seem that way.
They might seem to have a lot of energy, but they actually have a weaker immune system. The reason that up until the ages of two that you're most susceptible for the flu is because your immune system isn't developed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So up all the way up to five, it's still developing.
Right.
And then it's not completely developed until you actually become a young adult, because growth wouldn't happen normally. The immune system wouldn't allow the growth, you know, that would be thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
So the immune system actually changes as you become an adult and you're better able to fight infections. So kids need to have the same evaluations as an adult, and every year everyone should have a full physical workup, depending on their age, what it's checked on, and make sure that they're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, that needs to be addressed that year.
Yeah, that's very important, especially with the schools and all that goes on in here. And, you know, I just talked to a patient yesterday who has severe osteoporosis, and talking about the way she grew up and, you know, that set her up for this. And it's so
sure.
important, the way children are living now and taking care of their health will determine a lot of their health in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... Dr. Prather, we have about 30 seconds. Is there anything you want to conclude with, or anything we did not cover?
Well, again, the main thing that I think people are missing is a good structure function evaluation. Understanding the difference between disease care and structure function care. Disease care is actually the treatment of the symptoms of disease and getting that under control, which is a very important part of healthcare. But looking at structure function and actually getting the body into homeostasis can make a world of difference and keep you out of the disease care model.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always. The Prather Wellness Center is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. You can reach us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.